It's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost in fire is falling on all men, giving them the power to bring the harvest in.
Well, the prophet said that in the last days it would be like this. He'd pour out his Spirit and none he would miss. The young men will see visions, the old men will dream dreams, when he pours out the former and latter day rain.
It's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost in fire is falling on all men, giving them the power to bring the harvest in.
Well, he said upon your sons and daughters the Spirit would come. They would start to prophesy and speak with other tongues. And we'd receive the power to be his witnesses. Oh, I've never seen or felt anything like this.
It's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost in fire is falling on all men, giving them the power to bring the harvest in.
The Holy Ghost coming and giving us the power to bring the harvest in. Earlier this summer, we were up in the north in Manitoba, and we're coming down through there about the time that they were going out into the field. And they've got these monstrous combines there, you know, and the guys are in there driving with one hand on the wheel and one hand on a laptop. And everything is just, you know, it's all state of the art, and the headers are about 30 feet wide, and they've got four of them lined up in a field, great big field, 500 or 600 acre field. They're going into this field. And as they're headed off into this field, you see a field that is ripe for harvest and a great big combine that's out there. Imagine that scene, only the combine doesn't have an engine. No power. Full harvest. Great harvesting mechanism, but no power. And that song just says, the Spirit of the Lord is coming and giving us the power to bring the harvest in. This world is getting darker. I don't know if you noticed. And I'm getting excited. Because as I understand Scripture, there's going to come a time of darkness. And in the middle of that darkness, there is going to be blazing light. There is going to be a latter-day rain. And I look for that pouring out of the Spirit of the living God. No matter how many times we go there, we always need to go back to the river and plunge in that river and be cleansed to the river.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. That river, Lord, I
With this chorus, precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender.
Truly, we know that we need to meet you there. And God, we come before you today in your presence because we need to meet you. You are the King of creation and the ruler of time. And you are peace and truth and righteousness. And we stand trapped on this planet Earth with our spirit crying out for where you are. So today, God, we come together before you and we come as one person into your presence. Coming before you, putting our hands in that curtain of darkness that separates man from God, and walking into the throne room of the living God, the throne room of the Lamb, with the great white judgment throne, and Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, blazing in glory and light, radiating out in every direction, a rainbow over the top of the throne, and splendor all around, surrounded in the outside by 10,000 times 10,000 angels, and in all the stadium around, thousands of saints who have gone on before. And we come today into that presence, and we start to walk down toward the throne, and the angels part and allow us to come. And the saints who have gone on before stand to the side, and they leave a pathway marked by the blood of Jesus. And today, Father, as one, we come together down toward that throne with the river of life coming out from under it. We come down toward that throne, and the wheels of fire roll out of the way, and the 300-foot-high angels stand to the side. And they join their wings over the throne, over the mercy seat. And we come to the mercy seat today and we kneel down to worship you. We kneel down to worship you because we need to come to that river. And we want to lay down today all of our own pride, all of our own self-consciousness, all of our anger, all of our lust, all of our differences and arguments that we've had, all of our envy and jealousy, all of our bitterness, is lay it all down and reach out to you. That you, the Lord Jesus Christ, would reach out with your scepter of righteousness, and that you would touch us, and that you would bring us healing, and that you would bring us conviction, and that you would wash over us with conviction and with change, that we might be touched and changed, that we might not be who we are, but that we might be who you are. That we might be changed from glory to glory, even as beholding the face of the Lord. We wait before you in silence, Lord Jesus. Maybe we could just sing together. Everybody sing softly together. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you can, just lift your hands to him. Alleluia. Thank you today, Lord Jesus, that we are allowed to come into this throne room. Thank you that that great curtain was rent from the top to the bottom when you hung on that cross and shed your blood and cried, "It is finished." That lost, messed up people, such as I, are allowed through that blood to come into the throne room and to kneel down before your throne and worship. And be changed in your image. Be changed by your likeness and by your greatness. And I pray, Father, today that even as we sing and as we worship, that you would receive to yourself honor and glory, and that you would be lifted up, and that you would be made to look beautiful, because you are. And Lord, we never lose sight of how much we need you. Do we live conscious that we cannot live without him? Oh God, how I need you. A life without Christ is no life at all. Most of you, I don't know. My wife and I talked about it sometime this summer that we never come to our own church and sing. We just come in here, and I know we had attended here a couple times, and Mark came and asked me, "What are you doing here?" And we had communicated with the ministry at that time that what we were looking for is just a place to land. We run around all over the nation and are in ministry almost all the time. That's why we're not here. I don't stay home from church just because I don't like y'all, okay? It's not like that. It's true that I'm only, as the schedule is right now, I'm only going to be in this church, I think, 7 or 8 times this year. So, but it's not because I don't like you. But we wanted a place to just kind of land when we come home, and y'all, you guys here, the people in the church here have been so kind to us, allowing us to come in here and just kind of be a part of what's going on. Small group puts up with us being gone most of the time. We're not required to be greeters or whatever kind of thing because we're not going to be around enough, and we really, really appreciate it. I don't know how many of you know what we do. So I thought maybe sometime we should do a service here. I asked Mark if we could come in and share a little bit. And I had to think about this in the last week again, because we were doing a seminar over in Ephrata at the Ephrata Business Center. And it's August, September now, and August, it was 21 years ago, 21 or 22 years ago when this thing happened with you, 23 years ago, my, older than I thought. And I'm not going to tell a long story this morning about it, but just to say this, that when about the time that we were engaged to be married, I had this beautiful girl, and I was all excited about her, and we were engaged, and we're trying to take engagement pictures and all this. I get a call from her, the place where she was working, where she was about 600 miles away, and they said, "We don't know how to tell you this in a nice way, but your girlfriend just lost her mind." And she ran screaming out of the building and is running around outside in the snow and does not even know her own name. We can't talk any sense to her at all, and we would like to know if you would talk to her. And I begin to talk to her over the phone. I went to see her, and some of the time she would know who I was, and some of the time it was like there was nobody home. She would not know her own name, did not recognize me, would call me a horrible person and swing at me and whatever. I took her down to where I lived in Iowa, and we started going to the doctors and to the psychiatrists, and we did the blood tests, and they did all the medical analysis of the blood and all this and that, and they checked everything that they could check, and finally when they were done, they said, "Here's some pills. And by the way, you'll probably be on them for the rest of your life." As long as she was on the pills, she was semi-normal, I guess. And I was in love, so we went ahead and got married. And started out, seemed like it was okay, but as we start going through life, you know, I come home from work sometimes, she might be wandering around out in the cornfield again and not know who she was and not able to function as a wife or a mother very well. We had two girls that were born to us during that time, and she would not be able to take care of them, and I'd come home and the house would be a wreck, and I would try to clean up the house and make supper and calm her down, make her feel better about herself and get everything put together. And that was the way our life was. Life was going along like that until one day somebody came and started explaining to us what strongholds are and how they are formed, and we got down on our knees and we repented. And it was August, it was 23 years ago. And the God of heaven reached down through time and he cut the shackles off of her. And I got a brand new wife in one day. But we went home and didn't even know what happened. I never heard of anything like this. I thought these guys had lost their mind, to be real honest with you. The guys that were praying over us, I thought they were crazy. Don't tell them I said that, but I thought they were. And we went home, and it was like, you know, the first day she had a good day, and I was like, good. You know, we usually had one good day a week. There's our good day for the week. And the next day, I'm thinking, well, you know, today's not going to be good. I came home, and she's sitting there. The house is clean, and she's feeding the baby and singing a song, and I'm like, two good days in a row. What do you know? But it wasn't until the third day that we got out of bed, and we looked at each other across the bed, and we started crying because we realized that God had reached down through time and touched us, and it was never going to be like that again. It was during that time that God began to give us songs. My heart was so lit up with a Jesus that's real and reaches down and touches us today. I was like to be beside myself. And I remember where I was at when I don't know how many of you ever sang that song, "It's Jesus Christ who cleansed my heart and made me whole. It's Christ the Lord. It's Christ the Lord." Anybody know that song? Okay. That's the first song I ever wrote. And I wrote that going down the road with 800 bushels of corn behind a tractor. And I pulled off the road and shut the radio off. The guy in the combine can just wait. And I sat down and wrote a song. Praise God. Anyway, this next song that we're going to do is one of the first ones that my wife wrote during that time. God began to give us songs, and it's just songs of rejoicing in what God has done for us.
When the world outside is dark and stormy, when the fears of life surround on every side, Lord, sometimes I feel my faith begin to waver. 'Tis then I look up and hear my Father say,
lean on me.
When the storm is raging,
I'm the solid rock.
I'm the solid rock, you're safe from harm.
I will endure
through the endless sea. Sometimes I begin to look around me. Friends seem few and I feel so all alone. I'm overwhelmed and my heart is pained and burdened. Then I remember I belong to the one who said,
lean on me.
When the storm is raging,
I'm the solid rock.
I'm the solid rock, you're safe from harm.
I will endure
through the endless ages.
By faith look up.
By faith look up and lean on me. Thank you, Lord, I bless you, Heavenly Father. How bright life is when I keep my eyes on you. You're everything I've ever longed or hoped for. When I cry for help, I feel your presence near.
Lean on me.
When the storm is raging,
I'm the solid rock.
I'm the solid rock, you're safe from harm.
I will endure
through the endless ages.
By faith look up.
By faith look up and
I'm
the solid rock, you're safe from harm.
I will endure
through the endless ages.
By faith look up.
By faith look up and lean on me.
By faith look up.
By faith look up and lean on me.
Lean on me, because what is a life without Christ? Is a life without Christ not finally like a bird that has no wings?
Like a bird without wings that longs to be flying, like a motherless child left lonely and crying, like a song without words, like a world without music. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be lost without you watching over me. I get so lonely when I'm away. I miss every moment, in pain every day, until I'm home again. You hug me so tight, that's when I know everything is alright. Like a bird without wings that longs to be flying, like a motherless child left lonely and crying, like a song without words. without music, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be lost without you watching over me. You are my guardian angel, my light and my God. Your hand on my shoulder, and you by my side. You make everything beautiful. You make me complete. Everything in my world I lay at your feet. Like a church with no where the bell never rings, in a town without people, where no voice in the choir ever sings. If a boat on the ocean would be lost with no sail, then without your devotion, surely all that I dreamed of would fail. Without wings that longs to be flying, like a mother's child left lonely to cry, like a song without words, like a world without music, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be lost without you watching over. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be lost without you watching over me.
I would be lost without you watching over me. I want to have Tanisha introduce the next song here and just talk a little bit about some of the things you got to do this summer. I don't know if you ever told the people here or not.
I don't think I did. I don't know how many of you found out. I had a chance earlier this summer to go to Malawi, Africa for a month. There's a mission there that started a large school for the native children, and they use that sort of as a missionary base, and then there's some older missionaries there that oversee 100 to 200 churches out in the bush. So I got to fly there to Malawi, Africa, and then it was me and maybe 30 other people that had come in, and they split us into teams and would send us out with these missionaries to go minister in the villages. So we'd have 1 to 3 services a day, and they put us in charge of the services, which meant that they put me up in front every single day either to testify or to sometimes even give the message, which was a little bit of a stretch for me, no lie. My dad thinks that my shining glory of that trip was when I told them I wanted to come back from Africa with a good food story. So I asked them if they had fried crickets. And they said, oh no, those are out of season. But they were like, we will get you. They had a bad grin on their face. I should have known what was coming. They said, we will get you a native specialty here. It's called bush sausage. So we were driving down the road, and they stop and gleefully hop out of the vehicle and go purchase this shish kebab stick with 5 whole boiled mice on it. I mean, whole, bones, hair, everything. The tail wasn't on it. But other than that, it was everything. So they told me, this really is delicious, you have to try it. And I'm looking at it like, well, I can't not try it or I would feel horrible. So I did, and I actually kind of enjoyed it, and I ate too. But that's not the most amazing thing that happened on the trip. What was amazing about it to me is that I got put in some situations that were so far outside of my own comfort zone. And, you know, maybe it's being an oldest child or a very determined, strong-willed person. I've always been determined that I can do it myself. I can do this. I can be a good Christian. I have what it takes. And the first 2 weeks of my time there in Africa were a real time of stripping for me, where I was put in situations and all of a sudden I had to come face with the reality that I don't have what it takes. What those people need and even the skills that I would need to reach them, I don't have it. I don't have what it takes to step into these shoes that God is calling me to. And that was horrifying to me, absolutely horrifying. I can't even tell you. I thought I had failed. But it was incredible how God turned that around and said, no, you don't understand. I finally have you in a position now where you will let me be strength in you. And you will let me be life in you. You were always trying to produce life. You were always trying to give the people what they need. You don't have what they need. I do. And you need to be stripped of yourself so that I can be in you what they need. And it was incredible. I really don't think I will ever be the same after that trip. I came back a changed person, not because of what I had experienced or what I had done, but because of what he had done in me. As he stripped me and then filled me and used me, I got to experience his love in ways I never had before. And I got to see his strength working through me in ways I never had before. And you know, I'm not perfect, and I think I'm finally beginning to realize that I never really will be, but he is. And because he's everything I need, I can go to him every day and just spread my arms and tell him, you're incredible, and just bask in how wonderful he is, and know that because he's everything, I don't have to be afraid. All I have to do is lay myself before him and let him have me, and he will use me. And it's a beautiful, wonderful reality. This next song that I'm going to sing here has become very precious to me in the last few months just because of what it speaks. I was always looking for an identity, even in Christ, in what I could do. And sort of through what he taught me in that trip, he showed me it's not about you, it's about me. Look at me. So I would look at him and the incredibleness of who he is, and then I was amazed to find that he turned right around in that and showed me who I am and gave me an identity and a confidence that I'd never had before. And this is just a song about the heart cry that we have that calls out to our God, remind me who I am. Forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see is who I don't want to be, remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again.
I belong to you. Tell me who I am. We're going to have Karina come up here and help us with a couple songs. And Karina's kind of the last one in the row here. Let me see if everybody gets in order there. Tanisha's on the far side. Tanisha's 24 years old. The next daughter is married. She is not here, lives over here in Neola, and they had something else going on today. Gianna. And then Jevin is 21 years old, and he kind of helps drive the bus and deal with all the electronics and set up the sound and try to make everything work. And, yeah, when they're home, when we're at home, Jevin and Jalan work for my son-in-law, Anthony Sensenig, in construction. So they've been working in construction the last while here, at least when they're home. Jalan is 17 years old. Jalan just graduated from high school and is trying to figure out what comes next. Just trying hard to be as cool as his dad. And then Karina is 12 years old, and she has some of the same disease that her mother had. She thinks that when next time she has a birthday, she's going to be 19. 16. You'll be 19 next birthday. See what I mean? They got the same problem. They have trouble counting. Okay. Karina is 12 years old, and she's just kind of getting started to really help us out with some of the songs. And practice at home and get voice lessons and play keyboard and what else? Do the dishes. My beautiful wife, Dorcas, she is beautiful and I'm just old, okay?
Good save.
Stutzman family, we're glad to be here with you today. We're going to have Karina sing a song here. The song is just talks about the Lamb of God.
Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb.
That's why.
We believe in the old time singing where the word of the Lord comes through.
That's why.
We believe that there is no limit to what a good song can do.
That's why.
When we lift our hearts together, we can feel the Spirit near.
That's why.
We believe in the songs we sing. That's why we're here.
We've been singing in a gospel group just about all our lives. But the reason that we keep going is more than just family ties.
Cause when we told the Lord we'd go wherever he would lead, we have found him to be faithful to our every need.
That's why.
We believe in the old time singing where the word of the Lord comes through.
That's why.
We believe that there is no limit to what a good song can do.
That's why.
When we lift our hearts together, we can feel the Spirit near.
That's why.
We believe in the songs we sing. That's why we're here.
Sung together long enough to know the difference that a song can make. And it doesn't matter what style you sing, if you're doing it for heaven's sake.
You may like the words of older songs that are brand new, but either way we'll keep on singing like he's called us to.
That's why.
We believe in the old time singing where the word of the Lord comes through.
That's why.
We believe that there is no limit to what a good song can do.
That's why.
When we lift our hearts together, we can feel the Spirit near.
That's why.
We believe in the songs we sing. That's why we're here.
One of the things that it seems like is important, I don't really know for sure why, but it always seems like it's important to have a little bit of fun up here between us when we're traveling and singing. And we have a lot of fun in the bus. That bus out there, by the way, might look awful big, but it gets really small if you live in it for a couple of weeks. And you kind of have to learn to see, what did somebody tell me? That is a 45-foot sanctification machine. If you live in there, you'll start to find out what your issues are. Anyway, it seemed like traveling some of the places that we have gone, and I know this has happened a number of places that we've gone, from a church full of homeless people in New York to a homeless shelter in Los Angeles to a lot of the Russian Mennonite communities up across Canada and Western U.S., Western Southern U.S. and up across Canada, that people will just sit there and watch the family. And when we're done, it's almost like they're not even listening to the singing. And when we're done, they come up there and they say, How do you do that? How do you do that? They don't really care about the music, they don't really care about the sound. They want to know how do you do the family thing? How do you make that happen? And I don't really know. The best thing I can tell them is just marry a really good woman. I'm not really sure. At one place in New York, it was a Baptist church in the middle of town, and they wanted us to come back and teach for 4 days about families. So I said, okay. So we went back up there, and we went in, and this, you know. Anyway, we had a good time, but it was a little bit hard to communicate with some of the people because the first night I talked about marriage. I mean, how are you going to have a good home, family, if you don't have marriage, right? So first night I talked about marriage. As soon as I got done, this guy jumped out of his seat and came running up there to the front, and he said, Mister, are you trying to tell me that you have lived with the same woman for 20 years? And I said, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And he said, well, my first wife, it was her seventh marriage. And I got a look on my face a little bit like the one that just went across yours. And he said, oh, I guess I should have known that wasn't going to work. And I said, yeah, you probably should have known that wasn't going to work. Anyway, it seems like the family and some of the things that we do and we're having fun together and all that ministers almost as much as the singing does. So we got to have a couple of songs like this that are just fun.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now.
Listen to the top where the little bird's singing and the melodies and the high notes ringing and the hoot owl cries over everything and the blackbird disagrees.
Singing in the nighttime, singing in the day when the little duck quacks and he's on his way. The otter hasn't got much to say and the porcupine talks to himself.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now.
The dogs and the cats, they take up the fiddle where the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles. The donkey brays and the pony neighs. The old gray badger sighs.
Listen to the bass, it's a one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans at the big to-do. And the old cow just goes moo.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now.
It's a simple song, a little song everywhere. By the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear. The grumpy alligator and the hawk above. The sly old weasel and the turtle dove.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Creatures got a place in the choir.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. I don't know what it means to you tonight when you think about home, but before we do this song, I would like to have my wife share with you just a little bit. She had a couple comments she wanted to make.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you. Like Steve was saying, it is such a blessing for us to have a place to come and call home on Sunday morning. And you know, we don't get home very often, but you guys have been so loving and so caring, and not only to us, but to our kids. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It really, really does mean a lot. And I want to say thank you too, and I don't know who I'm saying this thank you to, but someone filled my freezer with corn. Thank you. You know, I'm just not always home to do some of those things that I'd love to do, and that really, really meant a lot to me. So thank you. Whoever you are, if you want to come, I would love to give you a big hug for that. So thank you. And you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's just dreary to be on the road. It isn't. The grace of God is there because it's what we're called to do. And, you know, His presence truly does sustain me. And I'm just so grateful again this morning to be in a house of believers, people whose hearts are turned toward Him. There is just such a synergy in that. There's a power in the presence of going into the presence of God together. So thank you. Thank you so much just for allowing us to be a part of you and putting up with us being gone all the time.
John, whatever you want to say.
I just want to thank you all for coming, and thank you guys for being like our family. I would consider you guys our family, and I guess just thank you for not hating us. A lot of people do that, and you guys don't, and it means a lot.
Go ahead.
I used to hear thinking
As the sun is sinking low o'er the mountains and the dry, dusty ground.
As the night is falling, I start recalling the nights in my own hometown. I see their faces in familiar places. I hear the music that we played way back then.
My heart rejoices as I hear the voices calling me home again.
Oh, oh, take me home, home to the people I left behind, home to the love I know I'll find. Oh,
mind is turning to the cold winter evenings by my own fireside.
So far away now, but any day now I'll sail on the morning tide. Oh, oh, take me home, home to the people I left behind.
Okay, I just want to share with you a little bit about some of the things that we are involved with as a family and why we are doing what we're doing. The world that we live in today is full of pain. I don't suppose that's rocket science to anybody or anything that they didn't already know. But we live in a world that is full of pain and devastation on every side. It seems like no matter where we go, the pain shows up, whether it's in a refugee camp on the other side of the world or if it's in somebody who's been wounded right in the benches of one of our own churches. Tragedies happen all around us. People's lives are wrecked and shattered by the things that they go through and the things that they experience. The world is full of pain, and we know that. But somehow or another, it seems to me like we need to also know that there is a Redeemer. And there is a reason that Jesus Christ came and that He gave His life on the cross. The Bible says that when Jesus first came among His own people, He said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And I want you to just take a look at this verse for a little bit. Jesus says, "I came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." And if you look at those words, poor, brokenhearted, captives, blind, and bruised, you realize that heaven was up there looking down. And when Jesus came down, he said, I came down for those who are hurting. That's why I came down here. I came down here for those who are hurting. And I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful for a God who cares about those who hurt and who came down for those who hurt. And by the way, it's the gospel. The gospel is that in us which produces or promotes the idea that there is something that we have to offer. And I would submit that perhaps if our gospel does not have answers for this, it may not be the gospel at all. A lot of times we are so busy in our lives, and Tanisha was talking about that, we're so busy in our life trying to get the fruit. We want to change the fruit in our life. There's something growing in our life, we want to try and change it, and we don't understand that it's not really the fruit that's a problem, it's the roots of the tree. All of the fruit that is growing in that tree, if it's a bad tree, is coming from a root system. And if you want to get rid of the fruit that's growing, somewhere you're going to have to get a hold of the roots and cut off the roots that are bad and that are actually causing the problem. And it's hard for us to sometimes understand that our school years and our early childhood, our parents, our home life, our life experiences, the trauma that we experience, and a lot of the other things such as abuse, neglect, and hurts, or words that are spoken over us, all come together to make us who we are along with what God made us. The problem is that it's difficult for us to actually become who God made us to be because of all these other things. So what we want to do is try to find a way before God to apply the cross of Jesus Christ to those things which are wounding our identity so that our true identity might show up and we might become who God made us and intended for us to be. Finding our destiny and our purpose, setting lives free from that are shackled by things from the past, bitterness and fear and lust and depression and lies and addictions and anger, things in our lives that shackle us and that take us into a place where we don't know how to act and where our lives are no longer productive in the kingdom. Finding healing in relationships. So our family travels around trying to share the news of some of this. We also now have an office in Akron, and my secretary and counselor are sitting right back here in the back. Wave your hands, John and Joy. I don't have a picture of you up here. But he works there as a counselor full-time, and she's a secretary. And the idea was to put Life Ministries out of business. It's not working. It seems like no matter how many different places there are that are trying to help people with wounded hearts, there are still more wounded hearts and still more people and places that we can't get to. And, you know, a lot of our time in today's world is actually spent, and I'm going to be going through this, but a lot of our time today is spent working with people from a religious background. And I really didn't want to do that with my life. I would really like to take a lot of the things that God has shown us and revealed to us, and I would like to take it out of these doors and work only with people with no religious background. I really would. But I can't get past all the stuff that we're doing now, so... On the next trip, we get to do a couple things. We're going to be in Los Angeles. We're working with some people there that don't have our kind of background. I'm excited about that. We're doing a concert one night for a teen challenge center and some things like that. So we're excited about that God's opening some of those doors and taking us into some of those places. This is just a picture of a prison crusade. We got started doing singing in the 90s, and... It scares me to think that was before some of you were born. Anyway, then we got started in prison, traveling around in prisons across the nation with Gospel Express. We did that for about 7 years. And this is just a picture of a little service one night there in a prison, in a women's prison in South Carolina. And when we start to, actually that might be a tent crusade. I think that might be a tent crusade there. This is a prison service in South Carolina. You can see the women coming up to the front and weeping and crying out to God with their hands up. They have this little thing on their back there. It says SCDC, that is South Carolina Department of Corrections. And God was moving in a mighty way there that night. You can also see we had some volunteers with us. By the way, if you're interested in being a part of one of those sometime, you by all means should sign up. You don't sign up with me, you sign up with Gospel Express. But hop in one of the buses and come down there and spend 4 days going into prison every day as a volunteer and talking to the ladies or to the men, whatever, if you're a lady, you'll be in a ladies' prison, a man will be in a men's prison. Going in and talking to the people, going back into the lockup areas. If you're over 18, I'm telling you, it'll mess with your life. It's a really, really good experience. Anyway, we've been privileged to be a part of that a number of times. This is actually a picture out of Canada with a bunch of Hutterite people that we were working with there, some Russian Mennonites and Hutterites that we were working with after a conference when a whole bunch of them started finding freedom and deliverance in their life and started laying down the hurts and the bondages of their life, and their hands go up in the air and they start praising the Lord and so on. There's other thing, helping people of God discover the freedom of their destiny, that is their destiny in Christ, and helping them take down strongholds in their life that are tormenting and troubling them. We also do a number of events a year out in Myrtle Beach where we go and get a nice condo and we are trapped in there for about 7 days and seven nights with either 30 young people or 13 couples. So we get together there and God comes in and meets us and starts to change us. There's a Sunday morning communion on the beach. You go out when the sun is coming up and have communion out there on the beach. So God's been moving pretty much in that. And of course, this is a prison crusade, I think, with We Care. Different kinds of things that we get into as we travel around. This is an outside service. My wife has written a book for women called Trust or Control. That has also opened some doors and put us into some places that we don't get into otherwise. And by the way, for all the ladies in the room, if you do not have one of those books, you want one. Go out here to the table and get one. Men, you're going to have to part with a couple bucks. Trust me, you will be glad you did. If my wife talks about women's issues, you probably should listen. Some more of the, this was in this spring in May. We were, we got a call from some Hutterites in South Dakota, and they said, we want you to come to South Dakota and do a seminar out here just for us. So we didn't really advertise it much. We went out there, and they brought their own people in, a lot of their own people in, and God began to do a work there among those people in that place that was just tremendous. I don't know how to explain to people what happens when these people get together and they start letting go of their stuff and they start reaching for God. And there was a lot of people in that room that day that were crying. And different people came to me and said, I have never had my hands above my head in a service before in my life. And they're sitting there just worshiping God, and the presence of God came down the room and wept. People just wept all over. And there was, it was an amazing scene. There was somebody that walked in there that day that had not been a part of the seminar, and they had all kinds of stuff going on in their life that really shouldn't have been. And when that presence came in, they just got up and ran. I couldn't handle it. Some of you might recognize that. Kathy, does that mean anything to you? Not a very good picture there, but we got on this summer, we're invited up to NYP, Northern Youth Programs, and a big family camp thing that they do there, and we got to sing there, really enjoyed that with a number of the people that were there, get to know some of the native people that were there, and also the workers that work up there in the camp. And then on the same trip, we got into some actual Hutterite colonies. And I talk about doing things among the Hutterites, and I don't know how familiar you are with them, but God is shaking America. And God is shaking the plain people. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. We get into a lot of different situations and a lot of different places. This Friday night, I'm supposed to be talking to a big group of Amish people in Intercourse, Pennsylvania. There's things happening all over the place that have not happened in recent years. One of them is, among these Hutterite people, all of a sudden they will call. They just call. They find out we're going by. And they say, can you pull in here and sing? And it's a little bit hard to explain because their culture is so different from ours. So we pulled into this first colony, I said, they called and said, can you sing? I said, yeah, we'll come in there and sing. We pull in, they had five other colonies invited, and they had a whole bunch of people there. And the first guy that came out to meet me handed me a check for $2,500. And they had went on the internet and looked it up, and they said, that's what Southern gospel groups get to come in and sing. So we're going to give these guys a check for $2,500. It's like, thank you very much. Anyway, in this colony here, they had let us know 2 days ahead. See, if they let you know too far ahead of time, it goes up the chain of command and gets shut down. So they don't want to tell you a long time ahead of time, just a couple days. It's easier to get forgiveness than permission. So they 2 days ahead of time, they called us and wanted us to come to this place. And here we get there, and they have this great, big, beautiful gymnasium. And they had invited 11 other colonies. And there was 12 colonies there represented there that night, about 300 people. And they had a nice stage there, and we're up there singing. My wife was so sick that she could barely get out of the bus. And we prayed for her, and she got out of the bus and got up on the stage. And after every song, she would say, I think I could do one more. She got done, she went back out the bus and laid down. And I started talking to the people. And as I began to talk to them that night, I said, let's pray. I'm done talking, let's pray. We started praying. And when we started praying, a wind came into the room. And old men with their long beards and their suspenders began to weep. And that room was full of weeping, and these people didn't even know what hit them. Not only have they not ever experienced something like that, most of them don't even know it exists. They've never even heard of it. And something started happening in that room. And people wept that night. And a rock cracked. I just visited with one of the guys the other day, and he said, what is it that you actually want here? And I said, you know what I really want? I want to come into your colony on your terms, on your turf, and I want to do a seminar in there. And I want you to bring your people, and I want to show you what it means to be free. And when I'm done, I'll put up my hands and back out. I don't want your people, I don't want them following me, and they don't need to leave your colony. They have this thing about people living in colonies, but if you go to a city like Sioux Falls, South Dakota, there are 2,000 runaway Hutterites in the city of Sioux Falls, South Dakota alone. 2,000 in one town. I'm not sure that sometimes we live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we don't quite get what's going on in some of these other places. Most of you probably have never even heard of Winkler, Manitoba, but Winkler, Manitoba is a Mennonite community that is about three times the size of Lancaster County. If you go up here to these Hutterite people, there's 50,000 of them. 50,000 souls. And God's beginning to open doors into that place, and I'm not sure if we're really hardly equipped to walk through them. Same place there. And of course, when you get done with that, then the people are sitting around eating and drinking coffee and cookies and all that. Some of the older ladies there. Sooner or later, the girls find the guys and corner them and say, we want a picture. Another thing that we end up doing a lot of places, or a lot of times, is recording, spending a lot of time in a recording studio. And with some of these people, of course, if you don't really know the people, it doesn't probably mean much to you, but it's an exciting thing that God takes us into and that we have been a part of. We have a number of recordings out here in the table. If you are interested in them, we would love to have you stop by there and talk to us, or pick up a recording. They're there on a donation basis. Now, my wife is back here. You want to come up here a little bit? You don't want to come up here? By the way, I have a bunch of these things here back there on the table. They are little refrigerator magnets. If you do not have one, please take one along home and remember us. Just stick it on your fridge and remember us in prayer. We appreciate that. Now, we are doing right now, I just thought it would be better if you'd be up here when I say this.
I'm worried.
We're doing a fundraiser. If you all want to help out with the ministry and the fundraiser part of, we're doing a fundraiser. We do one a year. And we're in the middle of this thing right now, and we are in competition to see which one of us can raise the most money. Right now, she's a hit.
Praise Jesus.
That is not a good thing, guys.
That's a very good thing.
Go home, get on Facebook, get out your credit card, and donate on my side. Don't make me humiliate myself, okay?
You got me up here for that.
I got you up here for that. Just so everybody would know it was true.
Oh, dear.
If I win in this competition, if I win, we get to go to Israel.
That's lovely. But see, that benefits you too. If I win, he has to write a book within the next year.
If you would like to be on our email list and get our newsletter, sometime, I'll leave this up here for a little bit, sometime pull out your cell phone, take your, dial this number right here, 22828, and text the word ministry in and send it. It will send you back a text immediately that says, what's your email address? You enter your email address and push send, and you are on our email list. So if you'd like to be on the email list and find out more about what's going on, that would be awesome. Now, I'm just going to close with this since I've already run out of time. All of us today are either in Egypt, we are in the wilderness, or we are in the land of promise. All of us are born in Egypt, and if we want to get out of Egypt, have to take the blood of the Lamb and put it on the doorposts of our heart. When we put the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of our heart and we are born again, pulled out of Egypt, and we go through the Red Sea of baptism, that puts us in the wilderness. That, my friend, does not take you to the land of promise. It puts you in the wilderness. God is going to take every one of us through a wilderness experience in our life. How long we stay there depends on how willing we are to believe Him. God is going to take every one of us through a wilderness where we learn about Him, about His nature, about His character, and about His law. Then He wants to take us to a river, another baptism, where Moses dies. We come to the river and we will hear God say, Moses, my servant, is dead. And it's time to cross the river. And we will cross that river and go into a land of promise, a land that flows with milk and honey, a land that is full of sweetness and sustenance. Amen. A land that is God's land, and it is a land of promise to you. That land, that spiritual inheritance, is yours by promise. You will not find that promise in the wilderness. In the wilderness, you will have manna and birds. And the next day, you can have birds and manna. And the next day, you can have manna and bird casserole. And the next day, you can have birds and manna. But what you will not have is you will not have your inheritance, because your inheritance of promise is in the land of promise, the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. And by the way, there are a few giants there. And every one of those giants wants to kill you. So before you go into that land, you may want to think about sharpening your sword. Because you are not only going to have to fight for your life, you're going to have to fight for your inheritance. And if you have not learned the law and you have not learned Moses, by the time you cross that river, the giants in that land will kill you. The world we live in and Western civilization is littered with the debris of bodies of people who are trying to go into the land of promise before they have grasped and gripped the nature of God. But the wilderness, my friend, is full of people who will die there. According to the narrative in the Bible, most of the people died in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness because they did not believe and because they were willing to complain. I would like to cry out to you today, let us not be complainers, but let us go to the river and cross that river. Amen. And let's hear the voice of Joshua, the voice of Jesus, crying out to us and saying, if you want to serve the gods that were back there in Egypt, you can serve those. If you want to serve the gods of the wilderness in whose land you dwell, you can serve those. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you pull out that sword and you go across that river and you find Jericho and you march around it until it falls. And you drive out all the enemies of the land and you seize your inheritance. And you learn to know and to walk in something that is far beyond what the average Christian is going to live in. It's there for you, my friend. You young people that are sitting over here have been raised in a place where you are more conscious of the wilderness than most people will ever be. And you're still young. You can grab that sword and you can go across that river and you can possess an inheritance that perhaps your parents will not even know. God wants you to do it. God is taking us to a place where He wants us to march forward, amen, and to begin to operate in kingdom authority in the name of Jesus, where we can walk up to the darkness and command it to fall, and it will fall down. I'm excited about that today. That's just kind of probably where I will leave you there as far as sharing is concerned. God bless all of you again. Thank you for coming out. I hope you were blessed here by the presentation, by the music, and by the worship. Never lose sight of that throne room. Pull that curtain back. Go into the throne room. Kneel down before the throne and worship, my friend. It is there that we are changed. It is there we find life. It is there beholding His face that we are changed from glory to glory, even as beholding the face of the Lord. God bless you. Turn time back over to John.